This episode of Cognitive Dissonance is brought to you by our patrons. You fucking rock. Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
From Glory Hole Studios in Chicago and beyond, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. Today is Thursday, January the 18th. And Cecil, I believe you have some news for
us. I do, Tom. Over the last 6 months, I have been working with an old colleague of mine. So I was let go from my university job. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, someone I know there left. And while I was at the university, I had created a podcast with him. And I was literally just a voice in the podcast that was scripted in to ask a question once in a while. Right. That was it. I did the intro, I did the outro in a reading voice, and then I literally just asked him questions so he could basically expound on some things. The person was a law professor and a legal activist and an asylum activist, and he did this podcast called Lawful Assembly. And so we did that podcast together while I was at my old university.
Can I ask, how many years did you guys do that?
So he wasn't very good at at putting things together. I would tell him, you know, you got to do it weekly. He's like, I can't, no way I could do it weekly with my current schedule. He was, the ombudsperson of the university. He was an adjunct law professor. He's also a reverend, like an ordained minister. So he's also a reverend outside of work. So he just had he's always busy. So I would say, you need to do it every week. And he would say, yeah, I'll try to do it once a month. So, so we did it for many years, but we only got 39 episodes total. Time passes and I get let go. And he reaches out to me, says, I really like to continue the podcast. And I say, well, I'm not going to do what we were doing because I don't want to just ask you, ask a question.
You know, just do editing work.
And then just do editing work. Right. And I said, if you want to do a real podcast with me, I'd love to do a podcast with you to talk about the law and to talk about, legal issues that are facing, our country and things like that, as well as immigration and other things. And also, he's a religious guy and I'm not. And so there's a secular
it's a cool
thing.
Tension there,
little thing there. And so I said, I'll start a show with you if you want to do that. And he said, sure. He really liked the name Lawful Assembly. That was what it was at the old place where we worked. They had given him the rights to the show, but we took all those shows down. All the old ones are gone. So the new show launched today, and the new show launched with 5 episodes. There's 1 episode on Friday. So if you're listening to this as a patron, you're getting, and you go there, you can go check it out. A patron of CogDiss, I'm saying.
Right.
You can go check out the 6 episodes. Probably they'll be there by the time you hear this. The show website is lawfulpod.com. And it's a show about the law. There are law podcasts out there, and I know a lot of them dig into that Trump stuff all the time. We don't really spend as much time on that, but we do talk about it. And so it's just a show that's about, I think the focus mostly will be immigration, but then there's other stuff that we talk about too. And it's just an interesting show to talk to a law professor. I try to find interesting topics to talk to a law professor about.
Well, I'll tell you, I've had the pleasure of listening to the first 5 episodes of Lawful Assembly. And it's a very different and I think very welcome and refreshing show that needs a space in our community. It is not a hot take show and it is not a cynicism show.
Yeah.
It is a refreshing, here's a guy who's a law professor from a big university who's been doing this work literally on the ground, doing the work, hands dirty, getting people, through the immigration process, through the asylum seeking process, and is not lost. He is not lost. He has this terrific
sense of like social justice that he brings to things,
yeah,
optimism that he brings to things, but it's tinged with reality.
Yeah.
And I think the dynamic that you guys have is just terrific. It's very different than our
dynamic. It's so different.
Yeah, right? It's so different than our dynamic.
The interesting thing is, we met and became friends at work, so I don't swear around him.
Yeah.
So it's a clean show.
Right.
I don't swear at all. I don't think in the first five episodes I might say like ass or bullshit or something.
Well, you
one
guys
time.
Push each other on that show.
Yeah.
I've been listening to that show over the last couple of days. Cecil sent me advance copies.
Advance copies. Yeah.
It's the benefits of 25 years of friendship. You get advance copies. And, but no, I love the push-pull that you guys
have. Yeah, we don't agree on everything.
Right.
And there's a difference between our opinions. And he's a religious guy and I'm not.
Yeah.
And that's where we contend. And so it's a really interesting show. Here's what I hope people do. I hope you give it a shot. Just give it a shot. Just go take a listen to it. Lawfulpod.com. Download it. Listen to it. This is an opportunity too, because it's just growing and I'm just building a rapport with Craig. So Craig and I are just starting to sort of work our way through becoming podcasters together, and your feedback's super welcome, right?
Yeah.
Your feedback at this point is super welcome. So listen to it. And if you really like it, rate it. And if you really like it, share it. Those are important things right now. And so if you have a minute this weekend, go to lawfulpod.com. Literally any way you want to download it on your phone. If you go there on your phone, you can find it on the homepage of the site. Any of the podcatchers should be, it should be there. So you just click a button and it should load up onto your pod player and you can subscribe and listen to it and see what you think and let me know what you think. But I really hope people will check it out. Lawfulpod.com, Lawful Assembly, new show in the podcast-iverse. And it's a totally different show from, I think, what a lot of people are used to from this sort of, you know, sort of skeptical group that we sort of belong to.
So, Cecil, for that feedback, do you want them to email this show?
No. So at the end of every episode, I say you can send a message to lawfulpod@gmail.com. And lawfulpod is a great place. And you could also leave feedback on the website itself. So you can, like, the website has a feedback form. You can also leave a voice message for us. There's plenty of ways to get in touch with us, and it's all available at lawfulpod.com.
Awesome.
You'll understand when you learn what state I live in. I am a Florida man. I am a Florida man.
All right, Cecil, this story comes from Mother Jones, and I don't even care about any part of it.
I think we need to read the whole thing because
it's literally
two paragraphs. Yeah. It's the best.
This is the greatest headline in all of headline writing, though. Except for maybe, real quick, I still think that my favorite headline of all time, and I just would love to have been in the room, was after 9/11, The Onion, hijackers surprised to find selves in hell. Do you remember this?
I do remember.
It was just...
I do remember.
It was just perfect.
I do remember.
It was just perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I love it. All right, Mother Jones, Florida man facing 91 criminal counts, wins Iowa caucuses. I love calling him Florida man.
Oh, it's the best. It's so good. 91 criminal counts. It's so perfect.
Oh,
so just read the two paragraphs.
Donald Trump just accomplished something he wasn't able to do in 2016. He won the Iowa caucuses. Not long after precinct sites opened Monday night, the networks called the first in the nation GOP race for the former president, who appeared to be cruising to a dominant victory over rivals Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley. Trump, who in 2020 tried to overturn the general election and illegally hold on to power, is facing four indictments covering a whopping 91 criminal counts, an array of civil suits, and a Supreme Court fight over whether he can even appear on the ballot in some states. But none of that seems to have turned off Iowa Republicans. Instead, they rewarded him for it.
We're at this weird place right now where Donald Trump is going to start winning again, right?
Yep.
There's been we've had this moment in our history.
I am tired of it.
Where Donald Trump has been losing.
Yeah.
Losing, getting brought up on indictments, losing, getting admonished in court multiple times, different places, and we're starting to see some of the cracks, right?
Yeah.
But now we're going to start to see some of those things disappear as he keeps winning these primaries. There's no indication that he's going to lose any of these primaries, Tom.
No.
Not a single indication.
No. There is literally no way. And I know Iowa is just Iowa. And I also know that Iowa is not predictive. It's not, it has essentially no meaningful predictive value in the races, like statistically. It's just first. Like, it's only first now for the Republicans.
Yeah.
So like you got to take Iowa with a giant grain of corn.
Yeah.
Like you just do. Just
one
a giant
big kernel of corn.
Just huge yeah. kernel.
One
of
big
corn.
Kernel that's stuck in your teeth and you can't get it out.
But yeah, he won.
Yeah.
He's going to win in New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. He's going to win on Super Tuesday.
Sure.
He's going to win.
He's
going to
win everywhere.
Win.
I don't think
everyone's wasting their time.
Probably Nikki Haley might take South Carolina. Probably DeSantis will take Florida. But other than that, I don't think there'll be any other real victories. No. People are starting to drop out now. And one thing I didn't even consider, and I'm stupid for not considering it. It didn't even occur to me until the people started dropping out. I was like, oh, of course these people, we're complaining the whole time. They should attack Trump, attack Trump, attack Trump. But they're not, because what they want is a job in his staff.
Yeah, that's it.
So now you can sort of see Vivek
Ramaswamy.
He loses and decides to back out. And now he's endorsing Trump. And Trump is saying, I can probably find a place for him. One of these people wants to be the running mate.
Yeah,
I mean,
man.
One of these people wants to be his running mate, or at least, you know, Secretary of State or
a fucking diplomat somewhere. Or
sure.
Whatever. Yeah.
So that's why they're not talking bad about him, because they recognize they don't have a chance to win. But if they put their face out there enough, people may say, hey, you need DeSantis as your right VP. And so that's what I think. And it didn't even occur to me until, because I thought, why would you run unless you want to win? And I was like, oh, duh, of course. They want to run because they want their face out
there.
They
need to build their
brand,
right? Yeah. This is all a brand. Like, running against Donald Trump as a Republican is a branding moment.
That's all
it's
it
not
is.
A strategic
That's
moment.
All it is.
You know, I think that it was personal for Chris Christie.
Sure. I think one or two of them, yeah.
I think for Chris Christie, he really wanted to, and he never got a chance, he really wanted to get on a debate stage. I think he really wanted
Yeah, he that never got a chance. Yeah.
But Trump, you know, and this is something I thought about this over the last week. If you're a Republican, you've got to square yourself with some weird shit. And you always have had to, right? You just always had to square yourself with some weird shit. But you have to contend with this fact as well right now, which is that you are asking for your party to govern the nation, to say, like, we are the guys and girls who can get this job done. You've got to be saying that. While at the same time, being absolutely aware that you cannot even put together a debate within your own party.
Yeah.
You can't even get agreement inside of your own party to have a substantive debate among the candidates. I mean, you now have Ron DeSantis, or is it Nikki Haley? You have now Nikki Haley saying, well, I'm not going to debate unless Trump debates. So now the only one willing to debate is Ron DeSantis. He's just going to be standing at a fucking lectern contradicting himself.
Yeah.
While people just like there's it's all falling apart.
Yeah.
The party is so fractured and so disorganized and so just a fucking clusterfuck, ungovernable disaster.
Yeah.
That they can't even put together a fucking debate, Cecil.
Yeah, it was disheartening though to see what happened on the day. I was hoping that there would be more pushback against Trump, because in 2016 he didn't win Iowa.
Right.
And so I thought maybe, you know, Iowans would come together and do their caucusing and caucus together and say, no, it's not going to be him.
Such a weird process.
But he took it. And so expect Trump to, unless something happens to pull him off, let's say that they pull him off the ballot, and that's upheld by the Supreme Court.
Right.
If that happens, then possibly we could see, you know, one of the other ones come up and, you know, be one of the major voices there. Although I don't think Trump would stop running because no red state's going to pull him off.
No, he doesn't care. If you're Trump and you're like, well, I lost Colorado, you'd be like, okay, always going to lose Colorado.
He's going to lose Colorado anyway.
It doesn't matter how you lose those electoral votes.
It's just if the places that he was winning might have a governor or a state representative who wants to take him off the ballot, and now that if it's precedent and they can, that's going to be real interesting because it won't make its way through the courts there, or if it does, it'll just get slapped down because they'll just point to the precedent that literally just happened.
Yeah.
And so that could be really interesting in some states.
It could. I think if it happened in Wisconsin,
yeah,
right, that would be a big deal. I think if it happened in Pennsylvania,
sure,
that would be a big deal. if it happens in like Illinois,
or California, it's not a big deal.
New York, yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like none of those states make any
all
difference.
All it'll do is point out the disparity between the popular vote and that.
Yeah,
more.
Right.
That's all it'll do is be right. More. You'll be like, he won by getting like 12 million votes. But, like, what the fuck?
I will say, and I, yeah, right. Dude, I will say though, I don't want him to come off the ballot.
Yeah.
I don't. Because it will, there's already, you know, tens of millions of people who, when polled, feel that the 2020 election was stolen, that it was rigged.
Sure.
They still believe all that lie. They believe in this great big deep state conspiracy. Pulling Trump off the ballot feeds that fire so much. It's not just gas. I mean, it's like, it's fucking jet fuel on the fire of that conspiracy.
Sure,
and
sure.
Like, what needs to happen is a clean loss.
Mm-hmm.
A clean loss. As clean as it can be for Trump.
I mean, I think the problem that I'm running into when I look at it in the field is, how clean will the next election be? Because right now you're seeing a ton of people who are probably going to get involved in it because they thought the last one was stolen, and they might try to do things to alter.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
And so we're in a weird place right now, a very, very precarious place.
It's terrifying.
If you don't take them off the ballot, you might lose. If you do take them off the ballot, you might lose. It's a bad place to be.
I don't like the sort of like catastrophizing, but I am, if there's going to be like violence in the streets and a civil war and all that, like, I think it would be from taking them off the ballot.
I think so too.
I think if you were to strip them of the ballot.
As much as I don't want them to get their way because of that.
Right.
Because of the threat of violence. Because genuinely, if you give them their way now and there's a threat of violence, what happens when they win the White House?
Oh, dude, I know. Because then what's the lesson?
Now there's no lesson for them.
Right.
They just like, there's a threat of violence. We'll just do literally whatever we
right.
want. And well, so I recognize that there's a, that's a slippery slope anyway in itself. But also at the same time, I also recognize too that the government will have a harder time fighting against that piece of information, whether, you know, if he's off the ballot, they're going to have a harder time.
If he's off the ballot, the next Biden administration will never be viewed as a legitimate administration.
No, you're right. Yeah. Yeah.
And they already aren't, but yeah, but I worry that it would be 4 years of just chaos.
Yeah.
And then he said that communism was bad, and you were bad too.
You did the right thing, son.
I feel cleansed.
Snitching is bitching. Phil, engrave that on something.
All right, so this story comes from Business Insider. Trump called a judge a bad person for not allowing him to travel for a funeral. His calendar says he's got a campaign event this day.
He went to that campaign event.
Yeah.
He went to that campaign event and trial, turns out.
He could have gone, feasibly, he could have gone to all three.
Sure.
So in this article, with a tight schedule, he could have attended the trial, which he was not required to attend.
He didn't have to go.
Did not have to attend. He could have gone to the funeral. And he could have also made his campaign stop. So they were all close enough. And, you know, he's fucking Trump. So, like, he could have made all three of them. But, like, I want to read what he actually tweeted out. Because he just used the death of his mother-in-law as a moment to score political grandstanding points.
Yeah.
So here's what he fucking truthed out or whatever. Crazed, Trump-hating judge Lewis Kaplan was asked if he could delay this rigged political scam for one day so that I could attend the, all caps, funeral of my beloved mother-in-law with my wife, the former and next First Lady of the United States. And he said no. Trump wrote on Saturday.
End quote.
That's all in caps, guys. That's all in caps.
God.
He fucking screamed that.
Ugh.
And when I read that, I was like, you petulant little bitch. Do you not know that you are in the legal system now? If I, as a regular person, had some, you know, my mother-in-law passed away and I'm like, oh, can I not go to court Tuesday? I had a they would tell me to go fuck myself sideways.
No, he didn't say, here's a difference between what he wanted, right? They said, yeah, it's real sad she died. Go.
Yeah.
You're welcome to go. Instead, he was like, hey, this is like telling your fucking teacher, hey, my grandma died. Can you cancel class?
Right. Yeah.
No. I can't cancel class. You can miss class.
Right.
That's how this works. Something happened in your life that made it impossible for you to come or harder for you to come.
Right.
Then deal with the thing that you're dealing with. The rest of us will continue on with this. You can just fucking watch the instant replay on CNN that they're going to play for six straight days. Yeah. You don't have to worry about it. And so he literally wanted them to cancel the thing. And he's like, they're like, no, I'm not canceling it. And it's because he just, all he wanted was to post that. All he wanted to show all the people who follow him that it's rigged against me.
Look,
nothing's rigged. Yeah, nothing's one would ever get this fucking, no one would ever get this. No one would ever, it would never happen to anybody, but he allowed them. He basically, what he did was he turned to his audience and said, look at what they're doing to me.
Yeah. He said, like, I didn't get special treatment. Isn't that unfair?
Yeah. That's exactly it.
No, man.
No.
It's not unfair.
No.
Like Cecil said, like, he was not required to attend.
Didn't have to get either.
He wants to. Okay, I get you want to. I want to do a lot of things.
Sure.
Sometimes my schedule is like two things. Yeah. Which one do you want more? And I'm like, well, that sucks. I want both.
Every morning I want a croissant from France. I want to go to France and get a croissant. Guess what I can't do single morning?
Go to fucking France and get a croissant.
Donald Trump could probably do that.
Go to France and get a croissant.
Every morning if he wanted to. So fuck you.
Fuck that
guy. Just have to deal with it sometimes. And that's how this works. And this is so good for him because all he wants to do.
Yep.
All he wants to do is manipulate his audience.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. And
this is a win-win for him, right?
One thing that puzzles me about this, well, it doesn't puzzle me because I recognize that the people on the right are, that hypocrisy doesn't bother them, that they don't feel cognitive dissonance, right?
Right.
But my thought about this was, imagine if anyone else talked to a judge the way he talked to the judge while he was there.
Oh, I know.
Or imagine if they did the things like had loud conversations or sighed really loudly when someone was giving testimony. Imagine how they would act if they saw anybody else doing that, especially a black or brown person, right?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Just like acting out in a court.
Yep.
This is the least, it's like the least respect for authority, and they're authoritarians, right? Of all the people in our country, the most authoritarian are the people on the right. And they give him the biggest pass when he is defying people that we would normally say they have the right to say the things and they're allowed. You have to give them deference, right?
Yeah.
But instead he defies them and they love it.
Well, I'll tell you an analogy I learned from Lawful Assembly listening to it recently was, you know, that the court system is the closest thing to royalty that we still have.
Yeah.
And like, we do treat the court system with a level of deference that we don't treat anything else. And like, for the party of law and order to be so openly mocking now, I mean, and if you think about this, like, Trump has openly mocked the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
He has openly called for their, like, you know, the FBI is all corrupt. If you're the law and order party.
Yeah, no, if you're the law and order party.
Shitting on the feds.
That's a big deal.
Seems like.
It's a big deal.
I don't know, man. Those are the federal cops, right?
There's
he shits on the CIA. He shits on the FBI. He shits on the Justice Department. Like, it's everybody but, like, the local fuzz, man. Yeah.
Well, even then, if they did something that upset him, he would 100% shit on him.
Yeah.
In a second, he would shit on him.
Yeah. He doesn't not shit on him because, like, of a principled stand. Yeah. He doesn't shit on the local cops because, like, the local cops he probably doesn't interact with.
Yeah. He is flying in the face of what is the authority all the time, and people love him for it, and he's authoritarian. It's so weird.
I know. It's super fucking.
It's so strange, but it's something that I noticed, and I was like, man, how does he get away with it? And he gets, and it's crazy too, because he was so disrespectful at this hearing. Wildly so.
He got like admonished multiple times by the judge. Like at some point, and if you're the judge, this is the only candidate in history that has come into your courthouse that you can't throw into fucking hoosegow for contempt.
Yeah.
Because you know that if you do, the judge has the authority. But from a practical perspective, if you chuck this guy into the fucking cage, like for contempt of court, it's going to be riots, man. You're going to be responsible for that shit. You're going to get death threats on your family.
Sure.
It's going to be fucking chaos because this motherfucker has absolutely undermined the rule of law while proclaiming himself as a law and order president. Yep. He has undermined the value and sanctity of these beloved and revered institutions of justice, while at the same time, you know, calling for justice for all of the people that are, you know, brown, all of the people that are immigrants, all of the people that, like, he wants to see treated poorly.
Yeah, sure.
What if it's a trap?
Turn around.
I do not come back.
This story comes from Politico. Adam Schiff would abolish filibuster and the Electoral College in his pro-democracy plan.
I think that there's a lot of good that came out of this. He's saying that if they get a majority, they're planning on doing this stuff. Now, that's a big if, because it turns out that upcoming election this year is going to be weighted towards the Republicans as it is.
Again.
And there's a lot of things right now that people are upset about.
Yeah.
And
Yeah,
there's a lot of things. Yeah. I mean, the government stance on Gaza and how they've been handling that has
not
been
popular.
It's been, and it's awful. Like it's genuinely awful.
Yep.
And so those things are pushing people away from voting for Democrats. And they're doing a lot of their policies are really bad right now in a lot of ways.
But like, there is literally no reason to believe that on that issue of Israel and Gaza, that the Republicans would be less hawkish.
No, of course not.
It makes that shit makes me crazy, because it's like, you still only have the two choices. You can hate 7 out of 10 things on one side, and if you hate 8 out of 10 things on the other side, you have to choose the side that you hate 7 out of 10 things for. That's the choice in front of you. Not voting is an asshole move.
Well, not
and voting for the Republicans, an asshole move.
Well,
and voting
not voting
third
is a
party.
Vote for the Republicans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, strategically, we know this is how this breaks down. We've run this fucking, like, simulation how many times now?
Yeah.
So, like, I totally am sympathetic. I am sympathetic. Like, the unabashed support of Israel right now is absolutely indefensible.
Yeah.
I'm there with you. But I am also fully aware that that support of Israel is stronger from the Republicans than the Democrats. Yeah. There are no other voices on the Republican side that would hold back Israel from rolling into Gaza.
All.
So you're like, yeah, I get being mad, but like at some point it's like, yeah, but in November, you're going to make a choice. That's the truth.
Yeah.
Don't kid yourself about some different thing. And I don't know, like, why this favors Republicans.
I think there's a couple things that need to be pointed out just really quickly about that. One of them is that the Overton window has been pushed, I think, on Israel so far that no matter what you say about them, if you're not glowing or you're not 100% behind them, there's that, you know, you're being anti-Semitic or whatever.
Right.
You know, like, there's this Overton window push on them that is pushed so far that there can be nothing in our government but rabid support and unwavering support and no condition support. We wouldn't do this with any other country. We would have conditions on the support we give them. We don't do that with them. We just like, there's no conditions. We put conditions on everything for everywhere. This is the only time we allow that. The other thing is that the Democrats, I do believe this. The Democrats feel they do recognize hypocrisy when it's them. I do think that's true.
For the most part, yeah.
I do think that's true. We can call it out. We can call it out and attack it and say it's wrong and be like, this is a terrible policy. Stop doing it.
Yes.
We could do that all the time. And we could do it vociferously and we can keep doing it. And I think that people will listen. We're seeing, even in this article, there's several senators that have turned. They have changed their mind.
Yeah.
And they are now trying to create a bill to make a ceasefire on Gaza. They're trying to do these things. You've got to push for that. And you've got to be the voice that pushes for that all the time. If you don't, what happens is that if they don't hear it, I think if they hear it, they might change their mind or they might soften a little. We've got to keep pushing them to do that.
Yeah, if they don't hear it, they're not going to do shit.
Yeah.
Like, I think the answer to the problem is to hire better Democrats.
Yeah.
The answer is not to vote for Republicans or not to vote.
Yeah.
The answer is to hire better Democrats. But that's always got to be a Democrat. Like, you can't pretend we don't have a two-party system. You just can't do it.
Yeah.
And you can't sit it out. You can't do any of those things.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't work. Like, I do recognize, I was thinking about this week, that, like, you know, strategically, I think that Israel has acted in that region as a giant intelligence player for the United States.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
They act as the eyes and the ears.
You can't deny that,
But the value of that and that relationship which I think is a big part of why the United States has supported Israel for so long. I mean, it's not ideological. It's intelligence-based, yeah. You know? Like, is absolutely destroyed when the rest of the world and the entire Arab world sees the United States as a viable threat to their existence.
Exactly true.
So, like, yeah, we have intelligence on a region, but we only need that intelligence on that region in such a strict key way.
Because we stand up for you.
We stood up for the guys that are giving us the intelligence so much that we're creating enemies in the standing.
Yeah.
It's like we're just creating. Look at what's happening in the Red Sea right now.
Yeah, no. Look at yeah, you know? Like Yemen.
Like, yeah. The Houthis are shooting fucking missiles at fucking cargo ships in an act of like protest and anger and fury at United States, you know, merchant ships. And now the United States is retaliating in Yemen. Like, the risk of this entire thing blowing up into a giant regional conflict is not low.
Yeah.
It's very, very, very high. And it comes from that support, that unwavering support of Israel that seems to absolutely have no limits, no limits at all.
And you got it. The other thing people don't understand is, like, Israel is a sovereign nation. They do what they want.
Yeah.
We can pressure them, but the idea that somehow Joe Biden can look at them and be like, stop it.
That's not how that works.
That's not how this works, man.
That's not how that works.
You got to understand how global politics work. That's not how this works. Now, I don't think he's doing anything at all to try to pressure them, but I also recognize that he can't stop it.
Well, yeah, I do think that, like, from what I've read, that the Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, has made several trips to try to pressure them to scale back. Like that's what I've read.
Sure.
He's tried to pressure them to scale back the scope of the war in the Gaza Strip, and he's been unsuccessful in doing it. And I think a big part of it, from what I've read, is that Benjamin Netanyahu knows his personal individual ass is on the line, and that if he pulls back at all, he'll end up in jail. Like, he'll end up getting thrown in actual prison if this doesn't work out for him. So, like, I don't know that the United States has any real leverage. I don't know that we don't. Because I'm not a fucking diplomat.
But especially against, like, Netanyahu.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
I don't believe that the United States does. I do think that we make more enemies in this
support
than we can afford
to make. We make more enemies of the American people, too.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. You make more enemies to the American people because they see this and they are like, what the fuck, man? Yeah. Why are we doing this? Why are we part of this? Why are we complicit in this?
Yes. I'm right there. What I don't understand, though, is how this translates into, and I don't, how this translates into the Democrats losing elections. Because, like, again, if the Democrats lose, the Republicans will win. The Green Party is not going to win.
Yeah. I know I'm right there with you, but I also I think that the younger voter is more idealistic about this.
Yeah.
And I think that they are willing to push back on this in a way that, because I don't know that they understand the consequences of it.
I don't know that I'm right there too. It's just like, I just get frustrated. Yeah. I'm just like,
I'm frustrated. I don't want to do too, but I also recognize, like, I'm also frustrated.
Yeah.
Right? I am frustrated with my own government.
Right.
I am frustrated with what they're doing. I am upset by what they're doing. It's been an awful situation from the start. It's been an absolute awful situation from the start, and it's not changing.
I've got a friend of mine. So there's this kid that's a part of my life. He's been a part of my life for a long time that I kind of have this paternalistic mentor-mentee relationship with. And he is very likely joining the Marines. He's gone through MEPS and all that stuff. His ship date is in March. He can technically back out up until the day he ships off. So, and I'm trying to get him to not join. I am desperately trying to push him unabashedly and openly to not go away. And a big part of that reason is I do think that in November, if Trump wins, we'll go to war. Because there is nothing Nothing would build Trump's brand better than his own war.
Oh, yeah.
And a war with Iran, which is maybe where this would go, or a war with Yemen, would be disastrous. It would be absolutely disastrous. I think we are on the brink of a major, if anybody fucks up, we are on the brink of a major regional conflict. That, I mean, like, you've got Iran and Pakistan firing missiles and shit around at each other yesterday or this morning. Like, shit's so tenuous right now. And so I tell my friend, like, every morning I send him news stories. And every morning I send him, like, hey, man, if you go away, understand you're probably not going away for some fun adventure.
It's not going to be, like, stationed in Germany.
No, man. Like, there is a high likelihood you're going to go off to fight some pointless fucking war in the Mideast.
Fucking A.
All right, so back to Adam Schiff.
One of the things that Schiff, I think, wants to do, and I want to read the things that he wants to do, eliminating gerrymandered congressional districts. Hats off to you.
God, if you could do this. I know.
Make voting easier by designating Election Day a federal holiday, expanding automatic voter registration through government agencies like the Department of Motor Vehicles and universal vote by mail access. I want to say this too. You know, I was thinking about it this week because there's a big push on the right for voter ID. Huge push. I feel like the left should embrace voter ID, but they should embrace voter ID with compulsory voting.
Yeah,
so
sure.
We should do pushes for voter ID, but voter ID is free through the mail for every single person, just like when you get a birth certificate, et cetera. They just give you a voter ID card in the mail or however you get it. I don't know. It would be interesting to figure out how you could get unhome people if they're, you know, there's a chance that they want to vote too. They should be able to vote,
sure, of course.
And so getting them their cards may be a little more problematic if you don't have a post office address or something
like that.
Yeah. But I really feel like compulsory voting is the thing we should be pushing for if that's the case. If you want voter ID, you know, because that's what we're trying to do, I think, right now with the border is there's trying to be like this push and pull.
Yeah.
I feel like you do this exact same way. You say, okay, fine. Absolutely, voter ID. You guys are afraid of how the government...
Sure. Here's how the voter ID will work.
And everyone will get voter ID and you'll all have to vote all the time.
But what the Republicans want is a picture ID.
I know.
That's what they're going to fight for. If you just send everybody a voter ID, they're going to never support
that.
We'll
do it like Floyd, where you send your own picture in.
Yeah, right, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
Cecil's talking about the firearm ownership identification card.
Yeah, yeah.
Which Illinois has. Other states don't have it. And that is a fucking joke of a process.
And you provide your own picture.
You provide your own picture. You literally mail them a picture of yourself. Although now they use your driver's license picture if you have one.
Also, passports, you provide your own picture.
That's true. Yeah.
So
and you just go to the post office.
We just provide our own picture. If you want photo ID, that's fine too.
Provide your own photo.
We'll just provide our own photo. The thing I'm worried about with voter ID is if you make it a process where someone has to pay or someone has to take off time off of work, you know, how many fucking single moms have time to go to get a you know, they come home from work, they're taking care of kids, they're busy, they're doing stuff. You know, how many people will work 2-3 jobs, have an opportunity to go to a DMV-like place and get a voter? They're not gonna.
What you're gonna do is
you're gonna alienate those people who have to work or have to do other things to maintain their life instead of going to get a voter card.
Yeah.
You have to make it easy. I'm willing to do it. As long as we make it compulsory,
I want to do it
so I can say everybody gets to vote.
Yep.
Everybody has to vote.
You know, I will say in Illinois, and I think I told this story before, but it bears repeating. Donovan, my stepson, just got his driver's license a couple of weeks ago. And when I took him, he's only 17, but he'll be 18 before November. He turns 18 in June. So when he got his driver's license, he was signed up and he already has his voter registration card.
And that happens with they do it. I got my license too, and they did the same thing too, where they said, you know, you can get vote. And they actually had on my latest one, vote by mail. If you want, you could just sign up for that.
But what I liked is they did it for an underage voter.
That's awesome.
Because when we were kids,
we couldn't do that.
You had to wait till you were 18.
Yeah. This other one too, restoring voting rights to felons who have served their time.
Fucking A, man.
What the fuck are we doing? You know, we have a prison system in this country that constantly, we put people behind bars for way longer than they are in other countries. The places that they have to go are way more dangerous, way more likely for recidivism. We have a terrible system of justice in this country that is more like vengeance. And then when they come out and then they've served their time, we've said, guess what? You did this bad thing. Now you're a felon, but guess what? After you come out, your life is fucked.
Yeah.
Your life is essentially fucked. And there's a whole book about why they make this is because it's the new Jim Crow. That's literally what it is.
This is the idea that like serving your time doesn't amount to like wiping your slate clean in any way. It's not your wife. If you have a felony, your slate never gets wiped clean. Like, I mean, I know there are some exceptions in certain states. First time offenders, don't send me your email. I know that. But you know that functionally what I'm saying is that. But I think that's bullshit. If I get in trouble and then I suffer the consequences of that mistake, and then those consequences are deemed to be complete, I shouldn't just eat perpetual shit forever. This is like, I was thinking like this feels like very Christian because it's unending punishment.
Sure. It's literally forever.
It's just like, yeah, okay, well, you know, we're just going to punish you
forever. It's just forever.
Yeah. Like, we're into that fucking unending punishment.
And then term limits for Supreme Court justices. That's what he wants to do.
Remove the filibuster
and start getting those up there.
All of these would make the country a better country.
Absolutely.
You know, the only thing I would add to this, if I had a structural governmental wish list, I would only add campaign finance reform.
Campaign finance reform is huge. I would add that too. I would make it publicly funded.
It has to
publicly be funded and be like, there's no private money. That would change so much of what happens in the government. Yep. It would change so much.
Publicly funded elections or nothing.
Yeah.
That's it.
Where are we?
Get off.
Ah, monkey on the car.
Monkey on the car.
Fuck off.
Little follow up here, Tom, from last week.
Yes, this is depressing. 15 states shut out food aid for 8 million children. We talked about this in Nebraska.
Yeah.
Just last week. Turns out now 15 states, all of them red states, unsurprising, all of them red states, have all declined federal aid for hungry children.
Yeah.
So all of them have basically said, let them eat nothing. Fuck them.
And
8 million kids.
And it was because they didn't want to administrate it. That's what they're saying is that it was a difficult system to administrate. And so we just don't want to do it. We didn't want to do it. We're going to do something. Some of them are suggesting they're going to do something else, or we don't need the government's help. And, you know, what the fuck is it there for if we don't use it? And you know, these poor kids, these are kids that just don't have enough food.
Yeah.
And then you give them a little bit of money while they're not in school to eat.
That's just a little bit.
That's it. Just a little bit of extra money for them to eat while they're not in school. This is something. This is where you plant your flag. This is where you look at people in the face and say, you know what? I don't want those kids to eat.
And this party, guys, this system of ideals is up for debate and election in November. We are going to decide if we want to live in a country governed by people who can look at 8 million hungry kids and say, don't worry, we'll figure something out as their solution.
Yeah. And then
that's what they fucking said. They don't want to pay the administration costs. And then some of them just said, ideologically, we are opposed to taking money from the federal government.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. No, I'm being nice to most of them.
Yeah.
You're right.
Right.
Some of them are just like, yeah, we just don't do that.
Yeah. We just don't take money from the federal government. I bet they do when there's a fucking hurricane or an earthquake or fire, because they all do.
You bet.
They all have their fucking handout every single time there's a big fucking storm or whatever. So they absolutely take federal aid. All of them are liars.
What I think the worst part about this is that the federal government is reaching out to help disadvantaged families, right? And they are smacking that hand away. And then they are definitely going to blame the federal government and help. And once they remove that, they're going to say to all these people who are disadvantaged in their community, it's the federal government that's leaving you behind.
Yeah.
The local government refused that help, but it doesn't matter because the people who are there are going to see hungry kids and they're going to be like, well, the federal government doesn't care about us because they batted the hand away, not the people who are getting the help.
Yeah. We're just like racing toward this kind of cruelty as an ethos.
Yeah.
And I'm like, blown away. What the fuck else is government for? Why are we even living in a country where only when you add up all the hungry kids in 15 states, you get to a number as high as 8 million? Doesn't that tell you this country is like structurally in need of enormous help? Why the fuck are there 8 million hungry kids in only 15 states of this country? 15 of them, not most populous states. It's not like they're adding up California and New York.
It's not in there.
Those states are taking the money and can feed their fucking kids. We are not talking. Why are there even 8 million hungry kids?
Yeah.
Like structurally, we're supposed to say that we're the richest nation in the world. We are. But like not most of us.
No.
Not most of us. Because I'll tell you what, 15 fucking states have 8 million hungry kids and we're flipping them the bird instead of tossing them some food.
And 8 million kids that are growing and need food so they can become the next generation of this country to take over, right? And you're feeding them less, and there is no better way to stunt the growth of this nation than to feed the most disadvantaged less. Because as time goes, I mean, that's what you need to grow, not just big and strong, right?
But
you need that for your brain.
Yep.
You need that for your head.
Yep.
If you don't get proper nutrition, you suffer. And they're saying we want 8 million kids to suffer, and that's our future.
Yep. And like, you, if you want higher crime, this is a great way to get higher crime.
Get it.
I'll tell you what, people who are hungry, who are not feeding their brains, like if my kids, first of all, if my kids were hungry and it was a choice between stealing or whatever, like you, every parent is going to try to do whatever they're going to do. What this does too is it not only puts these kids at disadvantage, but think about the people who are going to turn to other types of work that is dangerous or illegal in order for them to earn enough money to feed their families.
Sure.
And then some of those people will get hurt, will get killed, or will get caught. And then that cycle gets worse for that family.
Yeah, yeah.
This is such a dangerous thing to do. You're putting these kids in this awful position, which puts the adults in their lives in an awful position, which leaves everybody in that chain, that family chain, at terrible risk.
Absolutely.
For a cascade of events that the government has literally said, here's some money to help.
I can put up this thing that will stop this cascade.
And we're just like, and there are people who are like, ideologically, I got mine, so fuck
that
you.
That is exactly it. This is the theme for Spirit Halloween. Grandma wet and can't stop screaming. Here's a thing about Spirit Halloween. They got skeletons. I only want to call this up because I want to show this image.
Cecil, this is life now. Thank you.
So this is a follow-up to a story that we did. This story that we covered was about the alien mummies. And these are the little papier-mâché dolls.
Can I just say alien in big, giant air quotes?
Little papier-mâché dolls that somebody made from a Spirit Halloween, and then they handed them off to different governments. But my favorite, I got to see if I can find this image again. Tom, look at these. Look at the dress up. Look at this. For people who are watching, someone has, the person, I guess, who had these dolls, these little dolls, made, like, sewed up like a little
dress.
Traditional
Peruvian outfit
for him. And it is the fucking greatest thing I've ever seen. This is a Barbie dream home stuff. I can't get enough of this. I can't. By the way, the story is a follow-up. Peru has basically said, yeah, those are the same dolls. Those we looked at, those are like chicken bones.
Yeah. They're bones made from birds, dogs, and other animals, potentially even some human parts. Traditional Peruvian food Ian would eat. I'm just saying. Ian's favorite meal is the head of one of these dolls.
Thing. Okay, guys. It seriously looks like paper mache. Like, it doesn't look like, it looks like paper mache.
It's garbage.
It looks like
it's roadkill trash assembled into.
It's the dumbest thing anybody's ever tried to pass off. And we're still hearing about it.
Oh, yeah. And this thing is like, this in no way will sway the believers.
Oh, I know.
The people
this
who are like,
this picture should sway everybody.
This picture should sway everybody.
This picture should, if you see this picture and you're still like, you know what? Those Peruvian aliens, there's something to it.
Those 1 foot high, the aliens who show up in a space, they're a foot high.
I wanna flip through like the Sears catalog and come across the Peruvian aliens. And there's like, they're just standing there. They got their little dresses on, a couple of different ones. Maybe they got a different.
Yeah, you could get them in all different like
all
traditional
different
outfits.
Traditional outfits.
You could do a whole like Small World like kind of rendition with them, you know?
This is the best. This is so good.
Jesus,
you just
Christ.
If you're not watching, you just have to see that weird alien thing that we've talked about in
Guys,
the past.
It's just look up
into
Peruvian
a traditional
alien.
Outfit. It is the funniest thing you're going to see this week. I guarantee it.
God, the people are still into this.
I am a surgeon. I am a surgeon. I am a surgeon. I am a surgeon. Dr. Hahn, I am a surgeon.
This story comes from Dead State. Ben Carson Trump is being used by God like King David and is a man after God's own heart.
All right, let's listen to it. I'll put it on the big screen.
Wait, can I just ask real quick? The fuck, Ben Carson's back? I haven't thought about Ben Carson.
I think, did Ben Carson finish out his term? I think he did. I don't think he fucking pissed Trump off enough.
That's the thing is, I literally don't remember. Ben Carson was a joke from the beginning of the Trump
HUD
administration.
Guy.
He's the HUD guy, housing and urban development guy. And like, he was the guy who's like, oh yeah, like you could fill the pyramids full of grain or like whatever nonsense he said.
They were salt shakers.
Salt shakers or some bullshit. And then like everybody kind of forgot about Ben Carson. Everybody, at least I did.
Did he go back to doing Ben Carson stuff?
Did he go back to being a doctor?
So, because
he was a pediatric neurosurgeon, that was his like gig before. And I do love this. Like, in December of 2017, The Economist described the Department of Housing and Urban Development led by Ben Carson as directionless.
So. 2017.
Oh, his office furniture
office
scandal.
Furnishing scandal.
Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
Oh, this is like a trip down a weird, memory lane.
They cleared him of misconduct there.
Yeah, in 2019. So that means he probably made it through to the end.
I think he made it through.
I think
the
he
end.
Made it through.
I think he made it through. So I don't,
because everyone just forgot about
looking
him.
At the article, it doesn't look like he got kicked out or left or got angered Trump enough to get fired. So he stayed through the whole end. So I think what he wants is his old job back. He wants his old
shit.
He wants
you're
his
probably
old
right.
Back.
Yeah.
So here's Ben Carson and he's on Caputo's, whatever.
Sure.
Here we go.
Well, you know, you think about the Bible and King David. Most of those people probably, if they were alive back in those days, would have said, oh, what a horrible guy. You know, the episode with Bathsheba and some of the other things that he did. And yet he was a man after God's own heart. God uses different.
I love that. I love that he's like, no, he's a really shitty dude, but absolutely after God's own heart.
I know. I fucking love that they have some of these guys have to be like, look, I get it. He's the worst.
He's the worst.
But. And you're like, you could just stop
could just
there.
Stop.
He's the worst. We're all in agreement. Yeah. He's the worst.
Let's just fist bump and go on with our day.
Like, yeah. Look, I know out there are people that don't like Tom,
sure.
Right? I get that.
Yeah.
But like, and then there are other people that do like Tom.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it's supposed to work. I would be really upset if the people who do like Tom were like, no, we agree with the other side. Tom's the worst. But. He'll drive us to the store on Thursday. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know.
Like,
yeah.
If your friends are like, if the people who support you are like, okay, let me try to help you.
Gigantic dick, but
seriously,
yeah,
mondo asshole.
You should never have to describe your friends with a butt.
I know.
You should never have to.
Unless your friend has a great butt.
Yeah.
Well. Then you describe your friend's butt. Yes,
that's fair. People for different times. You need somebody with a Manhattan business type of personality to deal with the administrative state. You know, there are some real wolves in that Manhattan business environment. And to succeed in that, you don't just kind of be a flowery, nice person necessarily.
No.
That doesn't mean he can't be. I've seen him. When he's not being attacked, he's a wonderful person. Everybody, I think, would love him.
But just to be clear, you're comparing him to King David?
I love that the reporter, for lack of a better term, that is a lack of a better term, is like, but back to the original point.
I just want to roll back to what you had just said.
You're comparing Trump to King David from the Bible. That's your thesis here, Ben Carson?
The volume is very low.
Okay, I'm sorry. You are, just to put it up for the record, you're comparing him to King David and that worked out well for King David.
Okay. Well, you
guys,
missed, if you're not watching this, is that he's touching his ear because he clearly doesn't want to answer the question.
Right. He is pretending. All of a sudden, Ben Carson did the thing that people do when they are trying to like lie to you by not saying something, which is they unfocus their eyes and stare straight forward.
He should answer his phone and walk away from the mic right now.
Do you remember when that guy pretended to be on the phone? And is like the reporter's like, I can see your phone's not
on.
Do you remember that? I don't. Who was it that was doing that? It was like, Jim Jordan or
something. Somebody
shit.
Like that. Yeah,
yeah, it was one of those fucking dirtbags.
He's so good because they're just like, he's pretending that, like, I can tell you're not on the phone, dude.
It's another King David, right?
I don't know about him, King, but certainly he has some policies that are very worthwhile. And the other thing, Neil, that must be mentioned, if the left is allowed to use the DOJ to hurt him and to eliminate him from the process, then that's when we lose democracy.
What the fuck are you talking about? Trump literally said he's going to weaponize the DOJ first day.
First day. Day one.
And it's not the DOJ. It's fucking grand juries, man. Do you know what a grand jury is?
Also, like, this is a guy who in 2016 campaigned on lock her up. Lock her up. The idea that, like, all of a sudden it's the left. It's like, oh, like, we waited till this motherfucker was out.
For like a year. They got a special prosecutor. And that special prosecutor went to the trouble of getting a grand jury to finally decide to make sure that they're, like, seriously. And these aren't, and some
of
these people.
None of these prosecutions are by the Department of Justice, by the way.
And some of these people on the grand jury are like fucking rabid right-wing people that sat through a bunch of evidence. We're like, no, man, I voted to fucking get him in here.
Yep.
Seriously, like, do you understand how the fucking process works?
I want to take back the thing I said. I said none of these prosecutions are by the Department of Justice. But, like, that's not true. They are not being railroaded through by the Department of Justice. Yeah. And certainly there are state cases like the Georgia case, which has no connection whatsoever to the Department of Justice.
It's such bullshit. And it's the same narrative over and over again. And you're like, dude, he literally said he would weaponize the Justice Department. Yeah, like, and they seem to approve of that.
Dude, he said it in 2016 on the campaign trail, getting tens of thousands of people to scream, lock her
they
up.
Made a shirt.
Who was he referring to?
They made a
His
shirt.
His political rival. Yeah.
Beef log, what a treat. A hefty hunk of processed meat dipped in mustard. Oh, what joy, I'm a jolly beef log boy. Hot and spicy, mild or plain, I even eat the cellophane. I might share some with my dog, cause we both love beef log. Oh, boy.
Jesus Christ, this story's from Salon. I thought it was fake. When you put this in the show notes, Cecil, I was looking all over. I'm like, it's probably fake, right? Loomer questions if Haley is using weather manipulation to steal caucus from Trump.
All right. Here we go. You gotta read it.
All right. So here's what she says. Is the deep state activating HAARP, HAARP, to disrupt the Iowa caucus? We all know Nikki Haley has a lot of friends in the defense industry and military industrial complex. She's losing in Iowa. And now Iowa is set to get hit with a once in a decade blizzard as Trump is set to dominate the Iowa caucus. Is the deep state using HAARP to rig the Iowa caucus? Looks like weather manipulation to me. Weather manipulation.
These are people who are on the right. And I think there's a fabric of reality problem that when they start denying so many different things, they just start denying reality in general. Yeah. And this is a natural extension of that mentality. This is a natural extension of that. This is the best. The worst part about this is all you have to do is just like tweak this just a little and turn them just kind of a tiny bit. And you could be like, maybe we're going to be on the same side with global warming. You know, like, I mean, all it would take is just a little bit.
Give just a
nudge.
Yep.
Like, they almost have it. Like, the leopards have almost eaten their face. They're close. They're, like, gnawing on their cheek. And you're just like, just go to the front
just
of the face.
Just right to the front.
Just go to the front of the face.
It's cold in January in Iowa. And you see a conspiracy.
It is a huge conspiracy.
You see snow and cold weather in the Midwest in January as a sign of like weather. Look, if it was 143 degrees in January in Iowa, I'd be like, wow, that is
different.
That has my attention.
That's different.
That I am.
If it's negative five.
Right. It's negative five. You're just like, yeah, it's negative five. It gets cold in the winter.
Yeah.
That's why we call it the winter. Midwesterners are just like, yeah, it's cold.
Admittedly, it is a big blizzard that did come through.
Sure.
Admittedly, sure.
But we get blizzards out here.
We get blizzards, it turns out.
That's a thing that happens. It
absolutely snow.
And like, the idea that like, you got to get all worked up about like, oh, it's a once in a decade event. That's not uncommon.
To be honest, that's happening all the time now, right, more and more. Now it's once every year event.
Right. I just like, and then when Trump wins that Iowa caucus so fast that it was called while most people were still in the middle of
caucusing. Yeah, they're still caucusing. Yeah.
And you're like, probably was Nikki Haley who called in some friends who run the giant weather manipulating device in the military. She probably called 1-800-military-industrial complex.
She goes outside and she sees the general. She just slaps him on the shoulder like, big help you were.
If you can manipulate the weather, lightning bolts.
Yeah. There's other ways to win.
Sky snipers,
dude. There's so many better ways. It is. It's sky snipers.
You're
absolutely right. You're not wrong.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's just like, I'll believe, like, look, if somebody's running, like if some candidate is running and like there's like fucking lightning bolt after lightning bolt, like blowing up right behind him, I'd be like, that looks like some shit.
Absolutely.
If it's cold in the Midwest in the winter, I'd be like, that's winter. Wait till next year. Get a farmer's almanac, man. Yeah, it's coming.
Definitely. One is you tagged Zeus in.
Right. Yeah. If there's a spaceship that you can see and it's shooting lasers at me, I'm like,
okay,
that's suspicious.
That's definitely
that
not
is suspicious.
Normal.
Yeah.
That's not normal for Iowa.
But like, it's chilly out. It snowed a bunch in fucking January.
Oh, I love that lady. Never change, Laura Loomer.
Never change. Knocked it out of the park.
Never change.
Also, real quick, if you're Nikki Haley and you did call 1-800-military-industrial-complex and then they brought the polar vortex down to suppress turnout and you still fucking lost by that wide of a margin,
you better just wrap it up soon. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Please, if you get an opportunity and you're interested, please check out Lawful Assembly at lawfulpod.com. It's a brand new project that I'm working on. I'm really proud of it. I think that the shows are interesting. And I think if you are interested in the law and you're interested in immigration, if you're interested in current legal cases that are happening in the United States, might be something they might want to check out. So go give it a shot and let me know what you think at lawful. Go send an email at lawfulpod@gmail.com. All right. That's going to wrap it up for this week. We're going to leave it like we always do with Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo quasi alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy healing, water downward spiral, brain dead pan, sales pitch, late night info docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your sides. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and information provided on this podcast are intended for entertainment purposes only. All opinions are solely that of Glory Hole Studios, LLC. Cognitive Dissonance makes no representations as to accuracy, completeness, currentness, suitability, or validity of any information, and will not be liable for any errors, damages, or butthurt arising from consumption. All information is provided on an as-is basis. No refunds. Produced in association with the local Dairy Council and viewers like you.